Hi, welcome to Harvest Church Podcast. We pray that as you listen today, you are blessed and encouraged. Thank you so much for listening in. If you want any more information about our ministry, we'd love you to jump onto our website, harvestaustralia.org. Have a great day. The last couple of weeks, and I think I might have woken up one night actually, a couple of weeks ago, but ever since then I've had these three words going through my head, and I thought I won't share them in the last few weeks, but I just kind of feel today's a good day to share. And the three words are abide in me. Abide in me. Now most of you know, especially if you've read the King James Version that comes from John chapter 15, abide in me. The modern versions say, remain in me. And so I've had this phrase going over and over for a few weeks now, and I'm out on my run yesterday, and that's the whole time. That's what I'm thinking, those three words, and sort of mulling on that. And it's interesting, when we still ourselves and when we learn to meditate, not on some weird New Age philosophy or third eye or anything like that, but when we actually meditate on the Lord and on his word, he brews it in us. And so I don't even know the fullness of what abide in me means, because the more I'm repeating it and the more I'm dwelling on it, the more it opens up. You ever notice that? When you begin reading scripture, something speaks to you and you read it again and then you get another perspective, and you read it again and then there's another angle, and you read it again next week and there's something fresh. That's because the word of God is living and active. It's living and active, and anything that's living and active is reoccurring. It's always alive. It's breathing, and it's active for us today. So we'll read something today that next week will have just a freshness on it. And so today I want to share from John 15. We'll start in verse 4. And Jesus says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I wonder how many times we've pursued things when we're not attached to the vine. I wonder how many times where we've gone after things and we've tried to chase some things down when our branch is dangling and it hasn't got that lifeblood of the vine, of the calling, of the destiny, of the breath of God. And we're trying our hardest to make something happen, but it just hasn't got that unction of the voice of God. You know when it hasn't, don't you? After a little while, because it's really hard work. It's really hard work, and stress becomes a big part of the situation. I'm not saying everything stressful is outside of the vine, but there's often times when we're pushing so hard, our stress levels rise, and we're trying to make things work outside of abiding in the vine. So my encouragement for you today, wherever you're at, whatever you're walking through, abide in Jesus. Abide in him. You might be facing some stress. You might be facing some challenges. Abide in him. Politically, there's all sorts of things raging going on and around us in the world, and there's financial pressures and there's all sorts of opinions. Abide in him. It's probably the simplest message I can remember bringing in a long time. And I mean, we could be out of here at 10:37. I just keep saying, abide in him. Abide in him. It's not your stress. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's not by straining. It's not even by your 5-year strategic plan, as much as I love them. It's not by pushing harder. It's not by thinking any cleverer in your head. It's about abide in him. And so when we learn to do this, it's a really powerful key. Verse 5, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. This is such a powerful statement. Think of how many things we do without him. When we're maybe planning and and we're forging ahead and we're living our lives, if we're doing that stuff outside of Christ, outside of the will of God, it will bear no fruit. It might be fun. It might sort of fulfill a moment in time, but outside of Him for eternity, it has no bearing. It has no bearing. The only thing that has bearing is if we're connected to the vine and we bear kingdom fruit. God wants you to bear kingdom fruit. Do you know that? Yeah. Turn to your neighbor and say, He wants you to bear kingdom fruit. You know when you say that over a person, you're actually prophesying over them, because He wants you to bear kingdom fruit. You might have never thought of it that way. You might have just thought, okay, I'm an attendee. I'm a part of the crowd. I'm a sheep in the sheep pen, so to speak. But God has a calling over your life. God has a destiny over your life. And maybe no one's ever said it to you like that before, but it's true. It's actually the word of God. He desires that you would be fulfilled, that you would be abundant, that you would have an abundant life. Not everyone else, you. And so it's the word of God that we would actually abide in Him and bear much fruit. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, get this, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. You will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Fruitfulness is a powerful thing. Most of us in life, we've known seasons where there's an ebb and a flow, yeah? Where it's like where there's a mountaintop and there's a valley. And some seasons are really hard. Some seasons we're pushing against the grain or the tide's out and it seems like there's no momentum on what we're doing. But let me tell you, if you're in one of those seasons, it's a great season because God is stretching, He's building, He's strengthening. Just like when you go to the gym, you're tearing those muscles, He's growing and stretching. And it's in those seasons when we are faithful, being pruned, being maybe it's not just flowing really easy. It's in those seasons where our faith is deepened to a level that we can never get to before, because the soil on the top, it may be dry, but we're sending our roots deeper into Him. Abide in Him. Abide in Him. And when we send those roots down deeper, we get the good stuff. We get the good nutrients and we learn a robustness about our faith that we never would learn any other way. It's through the challenges that we learn depths with Him. It's through the trials that we learn to go really deep. I don't know about you, but if you've ever done a fast, water fast, juice fast, or anything like that for spiritual purposes, you'll know that you'll get a day or so, day or two, you might get headaches, you might get backaches, you might get coffee withdrawals or whatever it might be. And it can be rough, it can be tough. And all you're thinking about is food. 24/7, all you're thinking about is food. I remember hearing Bill Johnson from Bethel Church saying when he's fasting, he actually buys cookbooks. So he's just studying food the whole time. And I can't do that. I actually have to avoid food. And so at dinner time, I'm in the bath and I just have to sort of, you know, put some music on or something and just keep myself a little bit active. Anyway, it's in those times of pressing in and abstaining from other stuff and actually saying no to things of the world, but actually saying, yeah, I want to abide in the vine. It's at those times you get breakthrough. If you are needing breakthrough spiritually or around your life, fasting is one of the most powerful keys on earth, because we abstain from the things of this world to focus in on Him. And now, you know, you'll be a bit grumpy after day number two. But believe me, by day number 21, I'm just kidding. Hey, I mean, it's doable. But Karen and I, you know, we had a season where we kind of challenged each other of who could go longer in a water fast. Now, she beat me on it, I'll be honest with you. I could have said otherwise because she's not here to defend herself. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with getting a little bit of competitiveness when it comes to pursuing the Lord. We're competitive in everything else, so why not in the pursuit of Him? Of course, that's a wrong motive. I could be quoted completely wrongly and taken out as a heretic. But let me tell you, if we have a church that is competing for the presence of God and hungering after the presence of God, I've got no problems with that. I've got no problems with that. So there might be one of you here this morning who needed to hear that. You might be wanting breakthrough. You might wanting a deeper level in relationship with the Lord. Then take 1, 2, or 3 days and do a fast and look about how to do that correctly and safely and all the right things. And if you're up a scaffolding, up a building on 40-degree days, then you might want to be a little bit careful. But, you know, it may be a time of contemplation where you can take ground. Abide in the vine. Yeah. Abide in the vine. When we abide in him, the noise dampens down. Let me give you a few examples. The word abide, a few synonyms, or the meaning of abide is to comply with, to obey, to observe, follow, to keep, hold, conform, or to adhere to. And I think it's great getting a perspective. That word abide is all-encompassing. It means connect with him, be absorbed by him, be surrounded by him, be adhered to him. And when we do that, we can stand through life's struggles. Let me give you a few examples. Most of you know the story of when the disciples went out in the boat, Jesus was with them, and the storm began to rage. And of course, Jesus falls asleep. And this is exactly how we might find ourselves sometimes. When the storm is raging, when the confusion's happening, where are you, Jesus? Where are you? I can't find you. You're not answering my prayers right now. I can't hear your voice. I can't hear what you're saying. I'm reading through Psalms and Proverbs and everything I'm meant to read through, and I've got nothing. And oftentimes that's what we feel like when we're pursuing him or when there's confusion. It's like, where are you, Jesus? And all the time he's saying, abide in me. Abide in me. Go against the grain. Go against your feelings. Go against what you're seeing. Go against culture. Go against just, you know, pushing through in a earthly sense, but abide in me. Here's a secret I've learned, particularly after fasting, actually. Whether it's a juice fast, water fast, or any time where I've set aside for both health reasons but spiritual reasons as well of praying and seeking the Lord, I've found that I don't normally hear from God in the fast. And I don't know why that is. But it's like the storm's raging, the stomach's starving, and everyone else is enjoying coffee and food and everything like that. And you're sort of like stony face. And you get a few days in or whatever, and it's like, I'm not hearing from God. And so you read a little bit more. What I find is post the seeking time, that's when I hear his whisper. And I don't know why that is, but I think there's something that he loves that when you're in the storm, you just stand with him. You stand with him and say, I'm standing anyway. I'm not necessarily hearing it. I'm not feeling it, but I know this is doing something for my spirit. And so you might be walking through some stuff, and let's read about what Jesus does in Matthew chapter 8, 23, 27. Then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. That's Jesus. Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him and said, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up, rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. Jesus loves it when you and I stand in faith against the storm. He loves it when we stand and believe him. Whatever we're walking through today, if we believe God for the solution, if we believe him for the breakthrough, he loves that faith. He is drawn to that faith. He is, it's like a magnet to the kingdom of heaven. And we see here that I probably would have been just like one of the disciples. I would have been looking at the storm going, Jesus, you're sitting, you're the anointed one, you're the Messiah. Come on, like, fix this situation. And he then says, you of little faith. You of little faith. When we have faith, it is abiding in him. And we bear great fruit when we have faith against the storm. If you're facing a storm today, stand in faith. Believe his word. Believe the Messiah. Believe that he's coming. Believe that he's coming as a solution to your problems. You might be seeking all sorts of things in life, but if you stand in faith, he's going to bless you for it. Even if you stand in faith and look like a little bit of a fool, he loves you for it anyway. He loves it when we trust in him. Oftentimes, you might have heard it pronounced that faith can also be pronounced the acronym RISK, R-I-S-K. And so when we stand in that position of risk, when we stand in that position of risk because we risk our reputation, we risk maybe a scenario of people laughing at us, but when we're in that posture, then Jesus won't say to us, you have little faith. He'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. He'll say, good on you. You hung in there. Good on you. You stood when others weren't standing. It's a lonely place when you stand in faith. It's a lonely place. But we see here that Jesus, we don't want him to say, you guys, little faith, little faith. We need to grow in faith. The only way we grow in faith is by stretching it, exercising it, and working it. Maybe sometimes we are faced with accusation that can stop our connection with the vine. It can stop us with abiding in the vine. I remember when Jesus was fasting in the desert 40 days in the desert on water. That's a rough one. And Satan comes to him. And this is what will happen whenever we are pursuing him in a deeper way. The enemy will try and come and bring a nice, comforting counterfeit, which seems good. It seems even like a nice idea. But nice ideas that aren't God's appointed idea will thwart the plans of the enemy, thwart the plans of God over our lives. We want the best. We want the kingdom fruit. We don't want second best. We don't want the counterfeit. We want the real, genuine article. And if you're finding that you have voices of accusation, then stand firm. Stand firm his word. Stand in the storm. Rebuke the devourer. Rebuke him. Rebuke those words, those voices, and stand firm. Because just like Jesus did, Jesus used the word of God as a weapon against Satan. When the accusation came, Jesus said, the word of God says this. And so we can stand on the word of God as a weapon of our warfare. Busyness. Here's another one that comes at us to separate us from abiding in him. We'll all know the story about Mary and Martha. And we know that Martha was the one that busied herself and tried to make sure everything was hospitable for Jesus and get the food ready. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. If God's in that, he's in that. But there's a time to abide in him, even in the busyness. When Jesus is present, when he is calling us into that place of intimacy, nothing should take our distraction away from that. I remember when we owned the manufacturing business, we built an apartment on the factory, and there was times when we'd be facing all sorts of challenges, or maybe we grew dramatically quickly and there was a whole lot of challenges with that. And I remember sometimes I would go into the apartment and lock the door and no one would actually know I'm on site, and that was the best place to be. Turn the phone off, open the Word of God, or actually normally I'd turn on some worship music just to sort of get me into that place. And after 10 or 15 minutes of doing that, I would know there's a difference. There's a difference when we abide in him. There's a difference when we prioritize Jesus. When we prioritize him above our busyness, above our schedule, he changes things. And maybe not straight away, but I often found that when I would do that, especially when we form a routine of abiding in him and prioritizing him, solutions would kind of drop down from the air behind the scenes sometimes. So rather than me having to forge a solution, a couple of days in, just things would begin to resolve themselves. That's what happens when we abide in him. That's what happens when we prioritize him. And so if we're a busy type of person, and I like to keep busy, it's an effort to still ourselves to abide in the vine. Let's look at abiding in him in a leadership capacity. This is an interesting one because leaders are supposedly the most spiritual and pastors the most spiritual, and abiding in him should be the priority, but sometimes it's the thing that gets left behind. And then I think of the prophet Daniel. Daniel was a great leader in the city and getting promoted. And Nebuchadnezzar loved him and adored him. And of course, some colleagues of Daniel who were jealous. You ever had that? When you're pursuing something good, when you're pursuing Jesus and his plan for your life, you get some jealous colleagues or some people who don't understand you. That is a forging in the fire of leadership. If you've ever had that, it's a forging in the fire of leadership. It's one of the traits of every leader. Anyone who's ever been a leader, they've had other humans who are either at their level or below their level fully not understand what they're going through. And so it's a journey that God will allow us in the stretching, in the growing, is that people will not understand us. And so Daniel's in that situation where a law of the land had been cast that you can't seek any other god other than the idol. And of course, Daniel prioritizes abiding in the vine. Yeah. Whatever you're going through today, hear those words. Abide in him. Abide in him. He will provide the solutions. He will provide the answers to your long prayers that you've prayed for many years. He has the solutions there. Abide in him. Trust in him. Connect to him. Remain in him, adhere to him. And when we do that, when the storms come and waves and all the wind, everything else, we're abiding in him. We're abiding in him. And let me tell you, there's one thing you'll never regret doing. It's abiding in him. You might regret a whole lot of other things in life. You might regret making that decision or making that investment or going down that track or whatever it might, you know, barracking for that football team. You can regret that for all of your life like I have, but I'm still there with the Crows. But at the end of the day, you will not regret your time with Jesus. You won't regret 1 minute. Is there anything else in life like that? Anything else that you can think of where you would put that much time and effort into that you're never going to regret? And so it's one of those things that when we prioritize him, we get an upgrade and he gets glorified. Through the valleys and the mountaintops. You might be in a mountaintop. You're going well. Life's going good. Things are going really good. And you're doing well. That's one of the greatest times to abide in him. Sometimes we can forget it in those times because it's like, wow, there's momentum, there's good things happening, I'm busy, there's friends and there's joy and all sorts of stuff. But they're the times for the first fruits. They're the times when we sow back into him. They're the times where thankfulness becomes a worship and a celebration. I found myself in the last couple of weeks thanking God more than ever in my life before, not necessarily because there's just diamonds dripping from heaven, but it's just because I'm posturing myself in a positive attitude of thanking him. And I'm thanking him actively. I'm actually in faith saying, God, I expect you to do this. But he loves it when we stretch it and we go and say, God, I thank you for this. I thank you for that relationship. I thank you for that breakthrough. I thank you for that financial breakthrough. Whatever your challenges might be today, begin thanking God for the answer. Begin thanking him for the breakthrough, because it's like stretching your faith and saying, yeah, I believe you, God. I believe you. I might not be seeing it, but I believe your word. I believe who you are. I believe my relationship with you. I believe you are the vine dresser and I'm connected to you. And so it's a powerful thing when we do that. And one thing I've found that in those good times, that always brings fruitfulness and joy in my life is sowing those first fruits back in. We're not going to take up an offering at the end of this service. It's not about that. It's about our lives. It's about our energy. It's about our money. Yes, it's about who we are. When we're on the mountaintop, we sow it back in. We say, God, I'm not going to forget you just because everything good's happening. God was crying out when I'm in the valley. You came and you lifted me on the mountaintop. Now I'm forgetting you. No, I'm on the mountaintop. I'm going to shout it out loud. I'm going to sow back into the kingdom. I'm going to see the next challenge already sowing in. See, it's like like a cycle, life, isn't it? And we're on the mountaintops. We want to be stretching forward to get even greater, to get even bigger. And even though, let's talk financially, the zeros might even get more. The giving gets more. We keep going harder and for more. And that's something Karen and I have challenged ourselves to do, is to stay on the forefront of posturing our heart of sowing into the next season. You never know what the next season's going to hold. But when we abide in Him, you won't regret it. When that storm comes, when that challenge comes, and I often think of this, there'll be times where you will know that maybe there's some opposition against you. It might be spiritually, it might be relationally, it could be principalities and powers of darkness, or it might be little things or big things. It's at those times you are so glad you abided in Him. You are so glad you've got the Word of God as a sword so you can cut down the accusations of the enemy, because there is times for each one of us in life where we are going to need to wield that sword of the Word of God. We are going to need to oppose the accuser. We are going to need a robust strength and articulation of the Word of God and the power of God so we can come against his schemes. Ephesians 6 talks all about this, about having the armor of God. And let me tell you, it's at those times when you're facing stuff that you want to dig into that war chest of all your prayers, of all your abiding in Him, and you pull it out of that war chest and you say, God, now's the time. Unleash the answers. Unleash the solutions. All that fasting, now's the time. Jesus said to his disciples, this demon can't come out other than by prayer and fasting. And it doesn't mean every physical demon, but it might mean some challenges. They're going to come out by all your years of prayers, all your years of faithfulness, all your months and days and hours of seeking him. Not one minute is wasted. Not one minute is wasted. Some of you have been praying for some stuff a long time, and it gets to a stage where you lose faith. You get disappointed in God. I want to tell you, don't give up. Don't give up today. Don't give up tomorrow. Keep forging ahead. Keep believing, because God is who He says He is. He is reliable. He is trustworthy. There's nothing else in this world that you can trust. Nothing else in this world that you can trust like His Word. There are so many shooting stars in our modern world today. There's shooting stars in every... I was reading about a company now that's $2 trillion or something. I hadn't even heard of this company. It's already listed as $2 trillion. And I'm like, my goodness. And let me tell you, in a year's time, we probably won't even know about this company. It'll be, who knows. But, you know, it's... And then there's shooting stars of influencers all over that one day they have incredible fame and then we don't even know about them. We just had Taylor Swift here in Australia. Revival is here in Australia for some people. And it's like this, the whole Australia is swept up in this thing, and then nothing will happen for years. And the world is so fickle. It is so fickle. We are so led by the masses. We're so drawn to celebrity. We're so drawn to what others are drawn to, even though we don't know why we're drawn to it. Do you know what I mean? It's like, oh, everyone's going there. We better go there. Why are we going? I don't know. But everyone's going. It's a weird world we follow, isn't it? It's a weird mindset that we get ourselves in. And then all the while, he says, abide in me. Don't abide in anything else. Sure, have fun, go do some things, and what, you know, none of that's wrong in and of itself, but all the while he's saying, abide in me. You want some answers to prayer? Abide in me. You want some bringing down of stress levels? Abide in me. You want to find a better job? Abide in me. You want to find a wife or a husband or whatever you're asking him for? Abide in me. You want to find some solutions to those impossible situations? Abide in me. The same three words for every question, everything in life. Abide in me. This is going to be the easiest sermon that you'll ever remember. I'm going to do a quiz next week. If you don't remember this one, then we're going back to ABC. Abide in me. In a world full of shooting stars and just things happening so quickly and so dynamically. You know, the world wants to put so much pressure on us, even us Christians, to make us feel like we're not making it. especially the next generation. There's so much pressure on you guys to make it feel like you're not good enough. You've got to be this, you've got to be that, you've got to have a YouTube channel with a million subscribers, or you've got to have a third or fourth or fifth or sixth income stream, otherwise you're not cutting it. And all these different pressures. And it's interesting, I was hearing someone say the other day that nowadays in our common language for the common people, we speak often and we have terminologies that only psychologists used to have. So, only they knew what a narcissist was 30 years ago. I'd never heard of it. Now we all know what that is, and we all know these different personality types. So we've all got these little boxes and names and claims that we put on everything. And in all of that, when all is said and done, we just need to abide in Him. Abide in Him. He's the vine. We want to be connected in Him. And you might be facing some real challenges, or you might be on the mountaintop today. Abide in Him. Abide in Him. Worship Him. Seek Him. And here's the impression I get as I kind of wind up, and I'll get the band to come up. And that is that as we get further and further into the end times, because we're already in the end times, when Jesus went up and He left Holy Spirit with us, I believe that was the beginning of the end times. But here we are now 2,000 years later and He hasn't returned yet. So we're certainly in the end times. But the world is crazy. It's crazy out there. And there's biblical prophecy coming to pass. And we can see, we're never going to be able to join the dots perfectly. I'm a firm believer that we don't know how to properly interpret Revelation so that we know the hour, the date, the time, the way, the dot, the barcode, whatever. All of that is still a bit of a mystery. And I think it will always be a mystery until it happens. However, what we can see is that the world is a mess. The world is a mess. And sometimes we get caught up in that mess. And so the way to get out of that mess is to abide in Him.